Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. I want to take the opportunity to say that our congregation and myself thanks you for taking the time to listen to this Bible study today. This Bible study was given from the pulpit right here at Open Door Baptist on a Wednesday evening. Our prayer is that this study of God's infallible Word will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you. So good to see you. Let's go in our Bibles to the book of Genesis tonight, the book of Genesis. And we're going to get back in chapter 31 and try to finish chapter 31. I listened to Brother Dennis's message yesterday when I had opportunity and from last Wednesday evening. And I thought he did a real good job in staying with his points and having an outline. And so I called and told him. I said the only disagreement I had about your message was the garbage you said that I can't take fish off and bait hooks. Son, you're looking at a country boy. I've baited a many hooks, and I know what he's doing. We've got an inside joke among our men that they real good to me. Brother Archie, if he wouldn't have brought me that big tackle box of bait and laurels, I guess that they wouldn't rag me like they do. But anyway, I said, that's the only thing you lied about. Everything else was good. Amen. I am a country boy. I don't deny that, and I try to be dignified once in a while. But I just like the country, and the country fastly is going away, isn't it, around here? But I do love the country. But I appreciate him filling in. Let's begin reading in verse 25 of chapter 31 of Genesis. We have, by the help of the Lord, been looking through the verses and the chapters in this first book, the book of beginnings. We have looked at a lot of beginnings in this book, a lot of firsts that we find in this book. And so now we've got to chapter 31. We've went through Abraham and studied his life. He's now passed on the glory. And we've looked at Isaac a little bit. And now we've come to Abraham's grandson, Jacob. Amen. And this is the continual seed of promise that God gave unto Abraham. So here's Abraham's grandson Jacob, and this story is concerning his meeting with his evil, jealous father-in-law Laban. We'll say more about his evil heart here shortly. Verse 25 of chapter 31, the Bible says, "Then Laban overtook Jacob." Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, "What hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me and didst not tell me, that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs and with tabret and with harp, and hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters? Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing." Verse 29, Laban continues to speak to Jacob, and he said, "It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, Take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. And now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet therefore hast thou stolen my gods." And Jacob answered and said to Laban, "Because I was afraid. For I said, Preventure thou wouldest take by force thy daughters from me. With whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live. Before our brethren discern thou what is thine with me, and take it to thee." For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you first loved us, and you proved that great love on Golgotha's hill when you shed every ounce of your blood for our sins that we might be saved. We thank you, Lord, for the free pardon of sin. We thank you, Lord, that it's not earned by who has the most money, who has the most intellect, who has the most possessions, Lord, or by merit or by good works, Lord, but it's all because of the grace of God. And Lord, therefore, you said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord
shall be saved. Whether they're rich or poor, smart, illiterate, Lord, whether they be one that owns a cattle on a thousand hills or just owns a little house on the side of the road, Lord, thank you, Lord. No matter the language, no matter the color of skin, we can all be saved and become the family of God. We thank you for Wednesday night, Lord. It's been used, Lord, the analogy has been used many times. It's like in the old days when mom or grandma and great-grandma would put the wet clothes out on the clothesline, and how that those wet clothes would weigh heavy, and that the middle of that old clothesline would begin to droop and sag, and how that they would take old stick, old piece of a board, and they would prop up the middle of that clothesline, Lord. And that's what Wednesday night service is all about. Well, we had a good time Sunday. My goodness, what a great day. Sunday morning, Sunday night. Good attendance, good spirit of the Lord here. And Lord, but we've been back out in the world, been back out there and hearing people take your name in vain and running the things of God down, Lord. We've seen the things of this world, Lord, run rapid, and sin is everywhere. And so, Lord, we can steal away to the Open Door Baptist Church Bible study. And Lord, get some help tonight. We thank you for that. Prop us up, dear God, with this study. And we'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you all so much for standing as we read the Word of God tonight. Two Wednesday nights ago, and I think it would be right for us to back up because it was over 2 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago to today that we last studied the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 31. We looked at Jacob's prosperity and how that Jacob, as he was there at his father-in-law's property on there for 20 years, we'll see shortly that it was 20 years that he lived there with Rachel and Leah, and eventually his 11 sons and one daughter, that God blessed Jacob just like he had promised that he would do to Abraham and all of his children and grandchildren and so forth. And then we saw Jacob's perception when we begin chapter 31, how Jacob wisely perceived the evil in the heart of Laban. And he said there in verse 2, he said that he noticed that Laban's countenance was not as it used to be. And we talked about how a look can say a thousand words, and how a sour look can do much to ruin the peace and joy we have one with another. And he also perceived the envy in the heart of Laban's son. Verse 1, they said, man, he's made Jacob the heir of his possessions, and Jacob is prospering, and we have nothing. There's nothing left for our father to give us because Jacob's got it all. Of course, they thought that Jacob stole it, but in reality, God gave it to him. And a lot of folks, when God blesses you, a lot of folks get jealous, don't they? And they want to say that you got it in an evil way. And some people do, I know that. But for those that have been blessed by God, you ought to rejoice when they are blessed. I said this often, I'll say it again, because I never want you to forget it. If you want to see what type of character you have, see how you react when your friends succeed. If your friends succeed and you're jealous and you're envious of that, you have a lack of character, biblical, Christian character. Number two, if you want to see what type of character you have, how do you react when your enemies fail? If you act with jubilation and with laughter and you enjoy that, then that shows also a lack of character on your part. God wants us to rejoice when others are blessed, especially God's people, our family and the Lord. We ought to be happy for them and ought to give them honor and tribute and say, praise the Lord, I'm glad for you, amen. Well, these sons of Laban, they sure wasn't Christ-like, were they? They were not happy. They were envy of Jacob's prosperity. Then we saw Jacob's change of plans. He had been there, we will see shortly, for 20 years. He worked 7 years to marry Rachel. He was deceived and ended up marrying Leah. Then a week later, he married Rachel and worked 7 more years to the right to marry her. And then he worked 6 more years after that for the cattle that he gets from Laban. And so now God begins to work in his heart and begins to share with Jacob that, Jacob, it's time to move on. I want you to go back to Canaan. I want you to go back to the land of Abraham and Isaac, your father. That's where the children of Israel are going to be. That's where I promised. That is the land. Not here in Paran Haran, but here, go to Canaan. So the change of plans. In verse 4 through 16, Jacob's persuasion. He talks to Leah and Rachel, and he says to them, basically, we need to do God's will. if we don't do God's will, there's no safety outside God's will, and there sure will be no satisfaction outside of God's will. So let's do God's will. He's trying to persuade them. And of course, thank God, they said, "We're with you, Jacob. We want to do what God has led you to do." And then we see Jacob's parting. He leaves, and the Bible says that he left secretly, unaware, to Laban. Laban had no idea that Jacob and Leah and Rachel and those 11 sons and daughters and men servants and maid servants and all the cattle and donkeys and sheep that Jacob had all slipped out through the night while Laban was asleep. His parting, and of course we'll see here shortly why he parted that way. He tells Laban why he did that. And then Jacob's pursuer. Laban wakes up, he gets upset, he realizes, he goes out to the front porch, has his, let's see, what kind of coffee do y'all like? We like 8 o'clock coffee. Some people like Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Some people just want to buy Walmart coffee, whatever. But he's out there with his cup of coffee, and he's out there with the Pear and Heron National News, and he's reading his paper in his nightgown. He looks out, then he realizes that he don't have as many sheep as he used to have out in the field. He don't have as much cattle as he used to have. And he realizes that something's not right, so he figures it out that Jacob has now left. And Jacob has not stolen anything from Laban. He has just took what was rightfully his. But we're going to see in a little bit that even Laban wanted to somehow get that back, even though it was rightfully Jacob's. Now, we ended with Jacob's protector. Look at verse 24, because this is a key verse in tonight's study of chapter 31, verse 24. Jacob is being pursued by his father-in-law, Laban the Syrian. Laban is there to get back at him. We just read that Laban said that I got a right to hurt you. I've got a right to bring harm on you. So Laban, he's not following after Jacob to say, "Hey, I didn't get to kiss you goodbye. I didn't get to hug y'all and give you some money for the gas going down the road." No, he's after him to hurt him and to get back his what he thought is rightfully his, which he knew sooner than later God's going to deal with his heart and say, "This is Jacob's." Verse 24, "And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said unto him, Take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad." That translated from the Hebrew to our English, that either good to bad, simply means don't speak to Jacob from good to bad. Don't go to him and look at him in his face and tell him how great he is as a son-in-law, how much you love him, and then stab him in the back. Don't you do that. You just keep your dirty hands off of Jacob. He is my servant. He is the part of the seed of Abraham. You better not lay hands on him, Laban. And so God's Jacob's protector. Aren't you glad that the Lord protects you and I? We that are in his hand, and no man can pluck us out. Amen. Thank God for that. I'm glad for that. Now, what I want to do now is I want to go into verse 25, and we're going to, by the grace of God, finish this chapter tonight and still be out plenty of time for you to eat your beans and taters and watch the Andy Griffin Show if you hadn't got a chance to do that tonight. All right, verse 25, the Bible says, "Then Laban overtook Jacob." Now, get this picture. Laban has a party of some servants, and they are going after Jacob. Well, obviously, Laban's going to eventually catch up with Jacob, because Jacob has got cattle, he's got sheep, he's got some donkeys, and he's got men servant, he got maid servant. This is like a big exodus, that they're exiting out of this land. They're going to Canaan. And so Jacob eventually is overtaken by Laban. "And Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount," verse 25, "and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, What hast thou done that thou hast stolen," watch that word, "away unawares to me, and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? And wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me? Didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs and tabard and with harp, and has not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters? Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing." So Laban is after Jacob. He's after Jacob because of the evil in his heart. He's after Jacob because of the envy in his heart. And so he finally gets there, and God has done warned him, don't you look at his face and talk sweet and kind to him with the intention of stabbing him in the back. He says, I'm going to protect Jacob. He's my man. He's the part of the promised seed. You better be careful what you do with Jacob. And the very first thing that Laban does is he starts falsely accusing Jacob of being a thief and a robber. He said, You've stolen away, you slipped out like a coward, you're nothing but a renegade, and you've stolen my two daughters away, and you've stolen away my grandchildren, and you've stolen away some of my cattle and some of my herd and some of my flock of sheep. And he accuses him of being a criminal. And he also accuses Jacob of being a deserter. His argument here, which we're going to see, and you should know Laban's heart by now that he's evil, but he is trying to put a guilt trip on Jacob, we'll say today. Trying to put that guilt trip, said, what's wrong with you, Jacob? Are you not using your head? This is not fair to me. You know, it's not whether it was fair to Laban or not. What's important here in Jacob's life is that Jacob does what God tells him to do. And Laban here is more concerned about himself. Over and over we've seen this, and we'll see it through his own words. He's a very selfish man. He's very selfish. He wants what Jacob has. He really doesn't want his daughters back. He really doesn't want his grandchildren back. Rachel and Leah said that in this chapter. They said, we're like strangers to him. He doesn't love us anymore. He doesn't care for his grandchildren. When a grandfather doesn't care for the grandchildren, they've got some major problems in their heart. And he's coming back not for his daughters, not for his grandchildren, not even for his son-in-law. He's coming back because he wants what Jacob has rightfully taken. For those 20 years, they had a contract. We talked about the ancient shepherding contract, that if a man worked for so long for another shepherd, as we'll call him a subcontractor, and work with them, that after so long that it was right, according to customs of these days, that subcontractor, when he was ready to go out and start his own shepherding business, we'll say, that the boss shepherd would give 10 to 20% of the sheep or the flock of sheep or herd of cattle to this shepherd that wanted to go out and start his own business. Well, Jacob didn't ask for that. Jacob said, you give me the speckled cows. You give me the dark-colored cows. You give me the speckled sheep. And you give the ones that the world would say they're no good. That's not the best. Well, according to what I read and what I've studied, the speckled animals, the animals that we would look upon them with disgrace, say they've got problems, they're not ever going to be a good flock, they'd only made up about 10% of all the flock. So he could have got 20%, but he took 10%. Because Jacob knew that God was in this thing, and little is much when God is in it. And so Laban, he's now coming. Jacob let Laban have the best. But Laban's upset, and he even wants the bad sheep now that Jacob's taken. And so he says, why'd you do this? Now, it's so much for Laban obeying God. I mean, in verse 24, he goes to bed, and he's sleeping, and he has this dream or this vision, as they would in the Old Testament. And God speaks to Laban and says, Laban, and I'm paraphrasing, he says, don't you touch Jacob. Be careful what you say to him. He's my servant. Be good to him. And the very next verse, the Bible says that Laban overtook Jacob, and in verse 26, he said to him, why hast thou stolen away and carried away my daughters? And so much for obeying God, Laban. I guess obeying God wasn't a big deal to this fella. It shows the evil in his heart. He wouldn't even obey God. I mean, God appeared to him in a dream. And by the way, I don't see where he had pepperoni pizza before he went to bed about midnight. But he really had a dream. God appeared to him. God appeared to him. God appeared to a lot of folks that were lost, that were considered enemies of Israel or enemies of God. God would appear to them and speak to them and say, you better not do that. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And all through there, God used sinners or people that were wicked people in the Bible as what? Chess pieces to fulfill God's purpose and plan. And so God says to Laban, be careful what you say, bud. Be careful what you say to him. You better treat him with respect. You better be very careful what you say. And so Laban is in disobedience to God. Now, it's seen once again here on the way he tries to deceive Jacob. And he tries to deceive Jacob's and his daughters by speaking dishonesty. He says here, look at verse 27. This is the dishonesty, 27-28. Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me and didst not tell me? He said, this is why I wanted to know, Jacob, that I might have sent thee away with mirth, with songs, tabret, which is a musical instrument, and with a harp. And has not suffered me. Jacob, do you know what you've done? You've not allowed me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Thou hast done foolishly in so doing. He's very deceitful here. That is not his purpose for overtaking Jacob. It is not the people of Jacob that he's interested in. It is the possessions of Jacob that he's interested in. And I want to say this to you, and you can take it with you tonight and put it in your, allow the Holy Ghost put it in your heart, or you can leave it in the pew. It'd be up to you. But when people begin to care more about possessions than they do care about people, we've got a heart issue. And some people rather have some pastors rather have the buildings than, and that's what they see. Some pastors would rather have the property and the money. Some people in Sunday school, the teacher would rather have a name that they're a good teacher, and they forget about the student that sits there that they're supposed to feed. When we look at the possession more than we put the value on the people, then we've got some serious problems. Amen. We're living that day where people put more value on the creation than they do the Creator. And God said that day is coming. He said that over 2,000 years ago as he walked on the earth. And that day's here. Amen. We're there, aren't we? People, well, they don't mind praising the creation and saving the creatures, but they sure don't want to give glory to the Creator. By the way, if there are creatures, and they are, if there are creations, and they are, then there's got to be a Creator. Somebody said to me, you believe in the Big Bang Theory? I said, I absolutely do. They said, they was just baffled by that. They said, are you really? I said, I absolutely do. They said, I can't believe you're a Baptist preacher and you believe. I said, yeah, God spake it, bang, it all happened. Amen. Amen. Someone once said to me, you believe in UFOs? I said, absolutely. They looked at me like, are you crazy? I said, yeah. I wish I would have went just kind of acting on and said, yeah, I seen a green Martian in my bedroom the other night. But I didn't say that. I said, I sure do. And I said, I believe in unidentified flying objects. I don't know what they are in the air, but I don't believe in spaceships. I don't believe in Martians. And I hope nobody in here is a Martian. I'm just kidding. But I don't believe in that. But I do believe that when I look up the sky, I can't identify what that is sometimes. You know what I'm saying? And some people say, you believe in aliens? I said, I do believe in aliens. An alien is somebody from a foreign country. We've got aliens all around us in Flower Branch, and especially in Atlanta. We're an alien city in Atlanta. There are people from a foreign country. That's what an alien is. So anyway, I like to kid with people and poke fun. They probably think I'm crazy by now, but I enjoy it. All right, so that's very long. So Laban says, you did wrong because you sinned against me by secretly walking out, and you didn't even give me a chance to kiss my daughters and my grandchildren goodbye. You didn't give me a chance to give them my blessing. Now, understand that this is a big deal in those manners and customs of those days, and we still do when a man goes to the father of a daughter that man loves and wants to ask for her hand in marriage. It's just customary to go to that father, show respect to that father, and say, I share your feelings about his daughter and say, I love her. I know without a doubt that we're meant to be together. And I want to marry her, and I want to ask your blessing. And you may not have got your wife's. I know you didn't get your wife's husband's blessing on that, but you didn't get your wife's father's blessing, or your soon-to-be wife's father's blessing. Some of you may have not got that blessing, but you're supposed to get the blessing from the father. That's just a custom. And back in these days, Laban says, man, the custom is that I wanted to give you a blessing. I wanted to pray over you and bless you. To bless you was not only to speak a hope for them, or a wish for them. I don't want to call it a prophecy, but a hope. We hope and we pray that this would happen in your life. You'd have a long marriage, so to speak. And then they would pray together. Well, here Laban says, if you'd have let me know, I would have prayed over y'all. I don't know how far his prayer would have got, as evil as he was. Probably bounced off the ceiling, but he said, I'd have prayed and I'd have blessed you. Now look, I mean, as soon as he said that, look what it says in verse number 27. He says, it's verse 26, he says, you stole away, you did wrong. He said, I would have blessed you, but look how he would have done it. The latter part. I might have sent thee away with mirth, with songs, with a tabret, whether it are a musical instrument, and a harp. Really? Now I want you to notice this. I want you to see the change in the heart of Laban. I want you to look in Genesis chapter 24. Hey, keep your finger in 31 and go back to Genesis 24. This is Bible study night, so let's study the Word of God tonight. And I want to show you something that you know, you may not get anything from it, but I think that it shows the digression and the spirituality of Laban. In chapter 24, we have the story of Isaac and Jacob. You remember that story? Abraham sent his eldest servant to go out to find a wife for his son Isaac. He goes out there, and of course you know that he finds this woman by the name of Rebekah. Rebekah was the sister of who? Laban. That's right, Laban. And so here's Laban again in this chapter. Now his sister is going to go off with this servant to meet Abraham's son Isaac to marry. Now look at verse 60. How did Laban handle this? Verse 60 of chapter 24. And they blessed Rebekah. Are you with me? And said unto her, thou art our sister. This is Laban talking. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Yeah. Now watch this now. Earlier, Laban, he's going to see his sister Rebekah marry Jacob's mother. Soon it'll be Jacob's mother one day. Rebekah. Laban at this time in chapter 24 blesses Rebekah. He blesses the marriage. He prays over them. He has a hope for them. I mean, it's a genuine love, I believe, that Laban has for his sister. Well, now in chapter 31, Laban has two daughters, Leah and Rachel. And they both married Jacob. And instead of Laban praying and blessing in a spiritual sense Rachel and Leah, he says, let's just have a musical concert and a big old party. Do you see the difference? He went from blessing and praying over Rebekah, and few chapters later, he allowed that evilness, that sin, to be unconfessed in his heart, and he took one step after another step away from God, and the next thing you know, it's no more about praying, it's no more about asking God to bless the marriage, but it's all about let's have a musical concert and let's have a party. Do you see the difference? It's right there. All right, then, let's go back to chapter 31. I must hurry. Chapter 31. Laban has strayed a long ways away from where he once was spiritually. All right, go to verse 28. And he says, thou hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters. His sons are referring to grandsons. A lot of times in the Word of God, you'll see that when the Bible mentions the son of somebody, it's actually talking about the grandson. They would call them sons. He says, and my daughters, thou hast done foolishly in so doing. Of course, we know from our previous two studies, when we look at Laban, that he really didn't have a love for his daughters that he should have had. He really didn't have a love for his grandchildren that it should have. I don't have any grandchildren, but I look forward to the day that I do. I'll be honest with you. I look forward to the day I do. And I'm probably going to be one of those grandpas that's going to get them bumper stickers. Let me tell you about my grandchildren. That'll probably be me, and you're going to like, you little bragger. But you're probably going, every time I get in the pulpit, my grandchildren, not his grandchildren again, please. But no, I'm just kidding. But this man, I don't understand why a grandparent doesn't love, I'm being comical, but maybe there's a little reason behind not loving your children, but your grandchildren. You know what I'm saying? Like people say, I like grandchildren. You just feed them, play with them, and get them sugared high, and send them home to the parents. Amen. Amen. But anyway, he says, you don't even let me kiss my sons, my grandsons, and my daughters. He said, you've done foolishly. But we know Laban, the reason that he overtook Jacob was not to tell his two daughters, bye, I love you. It was not to hold his grandchildren close to his bosom again. The reason was because he wanted the possessions that Jacob had. Really? He's accusing Jacob of robbery, but yet in his own heart, if he gets the opportunity, that's exactly what he'll do to Jacob. Amen. Better be real careful talking about folks. Now, you can state facts, the true facts, but I'd be real careful running people down, because that stone may just roll right back over on you, and you might be a bigger disaster than they were. So you got to be careful. And those that say, my name is, I'm Lee Benton, and I'm a great Christian for the Lord. And I know that many of you in here have never reached a plateau spiritually that I have. But soon you might be there, probably when you get to heaven. But I'm just a super spiritual Christian. Don't sin much anymore. So you better be careful. Be careful. Amen. We're just sinners saved by grace. You ought to live right. When I got saved, it didn't make me sinless, but it makes me want to sin less and less. I love saying that. That's original. I never heard about say that. Somebody probably did, but I'm claiming it. Amen. Makes me want to sin less and less. Now, let me say this, and we're going to have to close out here. Let me ask you a question. Laban comes back, and he's knowing that he says, I want to love on my grandchildren. I want to love on my daughter. I just want to kiss them. I want to hold them one more time, and you did me wrong. Shouldn't Laban have loved and blessed his family while they were there with them in the first place? Shouldn't Laban have took those opportunities and loved them when he could have? Is Jacob going to believe Laban? You had him for 20 years. You didn't show him any affection. You didn't show him any love. When they had something to tell you, you was too busy. And now you're going to come 20 years later and tell me that you want to love on your kids and your daughters? Shouldn't he have took the advantages and the opportunities of loving them when he had them? I'm not being rude. I've preached a lot of times. I was an evangelist before I came here. I've preached overseas. I've preached a lot of places. I've preached a lot of funerals. And I've seen family members that would ignore their mama or their dad or their son, their daughter, their grandchild. And that person, the grandchild, the husband, the wife, would die. And those same people at the funeral home or at the church funeral service would about grab that casket and wail and cry. And they'll tell me, I wish I could love them. You know what I want to say? You had your chance. You had your chance. Amen. We better wake up tonight. You better love each other. I've heard people say this. Kerry said it in his ordination. He said, one thing pastor's taught me is to love people. You know, and I'm not saying this because Michelle is here or the cooks are here. We're not trying to pad our nest here. We hope that God keeps growing us, and I'm glad you're here, and I'm saying this to make me look good, but it's one thing I am known, and that is I love the people of this church. I have loved them. I've loved them. I've given my heart because I know that, boom, they can be taken from you. They can be gone just like that. Amen? They can be gone, and you'll wish to God you loved them then. You wish to God, don't come to somebody and say, if I had another chance, I'd have really loved them. You had your chance, bud. God gave you so many years. And are you going to fool God that all those years you had, you couldn't treat Him with respect and love them, whether it be a husband to a wife to a husband, mom to her children, a dad to the children, children vice versa, grant whatever it is, church to a pastor, pastor to the church, whatever it is, we got to love each other. I mean, that's a big part of Christianity, right? Love one another. And I'm telling you, you'll regret those wasted opportunities. You know, I don't want to live with bitterness in my heart. I've been done wrong just like you have. I've been done wrong by people. You know, I'm like you. We make fun. I feel like as a pastor of 11 years that we've had so many people saved here. But at the same time, folks got away from God and they went out and they tried to blame me while they're not here. And I feel like I've got stabbed so much in the back with drunk water, all the water shoots out my back sometimes. Well, I feel. You probably feel that way at times. Do you? Or you may be holier than I, but that's the way I feel sometimes. But I don't want to be bitter. What's bitterness going to do if someone hurts me, and even though it's wrong what they did, and they're going to have to answer before God? I know those things. I know what the Bible says. But for me to keep bitterness in my heart and to keep that in there towards them, it's really not affecting them. It's affecting me. I'm the one that's losing out. I'm missing out on that joy. And they may never come to you and say, "I'm sorry. I did wrong. I hurt you." They may never do that. But, you know, how many times we have done the Lord wrong and He just keeps on loving us. I didn't say you have to hold their hand and go with them where they go. It may cause your friendship to be a kind of a long-distance friendship where it's not like it once was, because you have to agree to disagree. And you get to the place, well, you're always going to feel that way. I'm always going to feel this way. You think you're right. I believe I'm right. So instead of us keep fighting and start another civil war here, let's just go ahead and let's leave it like it is and let's try to go on. And that way when I go down to Walmart and I see you, I can at least wave to you. Right? I can at least say hello. Amen. I've seen people that I know that Satan has tried to use them to hurt me and my family. I'm talking about really hurt me. And I'll see them. And I ask God, you help me to keep my heart right. I mean, you same way with family and friends and co-workers and employees, employers. It'd be very easy to get bitterness in your heart. And so we better love each other, okay? Love each other. Show the love of God to them. All right? Now, let's look at this so we can be done. Notice verse number 29. Laban says, "Boy, I really love y'all. I wanted to kiss y'all. I wanted to tell you bye. I wanted to give you a sending off party." And the very next verse, 29, "It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt." Wait a minute now. You want to love me? You want to send me off and shake my hand, hug my neck, kiss my forehead, but the very next words were, "It's in my power to hurt you, bud. I got the right and the strength to do you harm." Now, I want you to notice that. Do you really have the strength? Laban, to hurt Jacob when God is already against you? Did Laban really have the strength that he thought he had? When he was fighting against God, you said, well, he's fighting against Jacob. Jesus told Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus before he met the Lord, he said, "Saul," he said, "why persecutest thou the church?" No. He said, "Paul, Saul," he said, "why persecutest thou me?" Right. See, we are the body of Christ. And when you persecute or try to hurt someone, a member of the body is Jesus. You're fighting against him. And so Laban's not, this goes beyond fighting and having jealousy and envy and strife against Laban. I mean, against Jacob. Laban has it against God. And Laban has the spirit that I have the power. I have the strength to hurt you. Do you, Laban? Do you have that power? Do you have that strength? Strong is the man who trusts in God, and foolish is the man who believes that his army his intelligence, his riches, his skill, his labor, his chariots, his horses, his army of soldiers can defeat our God. Laban, you're not fighting against Jacob. You're fighting against God. You're fighting against God. Verse number 30. We got to close. And now thou that wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after the father's house, yet therefore hast thou stolen my gods. And we're going to have to close with this, but here's what he says. He says, it's in my power. I have the right and the power and the strength to hurt you. You did me wrong. And we're going to see, and I'm not going to be able to finish, and I'm sorry, but I just have to go as God gives it to me, and that's how I'm going to operate. And so he says to Jacob, he says, by the way, you stole my gods. You stole my gods. Now, get that. Laban is missing his false gods. And his words are, you stole my gods. Now, I want you to get this. Laban prays and he depends on these gods to protect him. But when it's time for them to be protected from the thief, they can't even protect themselves. He prays and depends on these false gods to bless and protect him. But when it's time for them to protect themselves, they have no defense. No wonder God said, is there another God? I know not any. He is the only God. Amen. He is the true God. Amen. He is the only God. And so from verse 30 towards the end of this chapter, Jacob speaks the straight-laced truth. Jacob gets, I believe it's righteous indignation, because he pretty well tells Laban, you're a liar, you're a cheat, you're a thief. I've done you right for 20 years. Everything in here I've earned. I've stole nothing from you. I've followed my God. My testimony is clean. My testimony is right. He says, if you think we have your gods or anything of yours, you search our tents. Well, Laban does that. Laban does that. Laban said, all right. He goes through the tents and through the saddlebags of the camels and all the possession. He's looking for those false gods. And the last place he goes was to the tent of Rachel. Well, we read that Rachel was the one that stole them gods. I said two reasons. Probably she stole them. Number one, because they were made of precious metal, maybe silver or gold. She didn't get any inheritance, a love offering from dad, so she stole something. And also, she may have thought, maybe she is not where she ought to be. Maybe she thought, just perhaps my father would get directions from these gods to find out where we are. If he don't have the gods, he can't pray to them. So that may be the two reasons, but she stole them gods. All right, so he looks. Well, Rachel hears him coming. So she sits down on this type of a chest, so to speak, and she's sitting there, and she looks at her dad. She says, "Dad, forgive me. Forgive me, I can't stand up. It's the time of a woman." She said, "I need to sit here." And, of course, he didn't say, "I understand." I don't think he would say that. But he said, "Of course you can't." And so he didn't. Rachel didn't stand up, and he didn't look in that piece of furniture where them false gods were. And so Jacob said, "Bring it out. Bring out here what we've stolen." Amen. Laban, and he got everybody together. He had Laban's brethren and his servants, all his servants, his two wives and all their grandkids, and got them in there together. He said, "Laban, I'm so strong about my testimony. I have done my best to do right by you. I've not stolen nothing from you. Now you have searched my possessions. You have searched my tents. Go ahead and lay it out here in the open what I stole from you." And Laban had nothing to bring. And so Jacob said, "I told you. I've done right." Now he didn't know that Rachel had stole them gods. Now, he didn't know that. And I guess the lesson there, be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. And watch your wives. Amen. No, that's just kidding. But anyway, he didn't know. But anyway, it goes and they make a covenant one with another. Laban's heart is softened. God does that. And they, on a pillow of stones, they make a pillar. And they make a covenant. They have a meal. They give a peace offering one with another. And they make a covenant that Jacob, now that he is prospering and growing, Laban's scared to death that Jacob's going to come back and wear Laban out and take over his possessions. So Laban said, have mercy on me and I'll have mercy on you. And neither one of us will cross this pillar to hurt each other. And Jacob said, I have no problem with that. And that's how the chapter ends. And Laban and his brethren and servants, they go back to his homeland. And Jacob and his two wives and their 11 grandsons and one granddaughter and all the possessions, they start heading back towards Canaan land. So you may have an enemy tonight or someone that just despises you. I know y'all so sweet and everybody loves y'all. But you live for the Lord, you're going to have an enemy once in a while. But instead of being bitter and trying to fight them, just trust in the Lord, do right, keep a good spirit, and God can soften their heart in your favor. And God softened Laban's heart, and he had favor on Jacob, and he left Jacob alone. It was all because of God. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.